بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد شكر تو الله سبحانه وتعالى that in these days of fitna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us tawfiq and the opportunity and the hidayat to sit in his masjid in his house to listen to some talk of deen so we can rekindle our iman, we can contemplate and ponder about the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the injunctions of Quran, hadith, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. Just mere sitting here is very, very sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when everybody else or many people are caught up in different temptations and fitna. Allah Ta'ala has given us the chance of sitting here. May Allah Ta'ala accept it, make it be easy. On Friday I mentioned the saying of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, where he says, مَا نَدِمْتُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ نَدَمِي عَلَى يَوْمٍ طَلَعَ فِيهِ شَمْسُهُ نَقَصَ فِيهِ أَجَلِي وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ عَمَلِي. He says, I did not regret over anything that much I regret over that particular day in which غَرَبَ شَمْسُهُ, which the sun sets, and my lifespan decreases because of the one day going past. So one day of my life is gone. وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ عَمَلِي, but I did not increase my good actions. The day just went past like that. I didn't really do any good a'mal saliha or any good actions. I did not become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did not refrain from any sins. So my time is going away. One day like this has passed on and I did not increase my action. Now these were Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. But today we'll discuss inshallah Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. His real name was Jundub bin Junadah. Jundub bin Junadah radiallahu ta'ala, but he was known as Abu Dharr, his son of Dharr radiallahu ta'ala. So he, the father of Dharr, Abu Dharr, came from the Ghifar tribe. Al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding him, مَا أَقَلَّتِ الْغَبْرَاءُ وَلَا أَظَلَّتِ الْخَضْرَاءُ مِنْ رَجُلٍ أَصْدَقُ مِنْ أَبِي ذَرٍ. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on many occasions he would mention great praises and great benefits or blessings regarding different Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. In this particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the earth has not carried any person, nor has the sky sheltered any person more honest and sincere than Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala. Now his sincerity, honesty was not only honesty by means of the tongue that he would only speak the truth, but his heart was also sincere. His heart was also sincere. His actions were sincere. When he said something and he advised somebody, he was sincere in his advice. In other words, he did not do things or say things for the sake of people or for the pleasure of people. He did it solely for the sake of Allah. They say his zahir and his batin, one could find sidq in it, loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he came from the Ghifar tribe. Now the Ghifar tribe, obviously before Islam, they were well known or they were very notorious with regards to plundering or robbing the caravans that go past their town. They would attack them and loot their possessions. But Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed in his heart hatred for idol worshipping and the things that he saw amongst his people. For some reason he broke himself away from the wrong practices of his people. So he was also searching, waiting for some new type of deen, for some guidance. So he hears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hears of some person coming, and he's in Makkah, and he's preaching a new deen. So he sends his brother Unais. He says, go and find out, check for me, get some information, see who is this person, who he is, what religion, what creed he's calling towards. So his brother goes to Makkah, meets to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hears a bit from him, then he comes back. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu and the Ghifar tribe lived in the rural areas out of Medina Munawwara. The farms, as you see, the Badia. So he asked his brother, Abu Dharr asked Unais, tell me, what did you see? So he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ وَاللَّهُ رَجُلًا يَدْعُو إِلَى مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I found this man calling towards good character, speaking the truth, joining family ties. وَيَقُولُ كَلَامًا مَا هُوَ بِشِعْرٍ. And he says such speech which is not poetry. So Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala then says, وَمَاذَا يَقُولُ النَّاسِ. What do people have to say regarding him? He says people regarding him to be sahir, magician, kahin, fortune teller, shair, is a poet. Some say he's majnoon, he's insane, ma'adallah. So he says this is the feelings of people regarding him. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala is not satisfied. He says, Wallahi ma shafayta li ghaleelan. You haven't fulfilled my desire. Really what I want to know about the man you haven't fulfilled. I have to go out myself and see, are you prepared to look after my property and my family? He said, yes. So he goes. And when he goes to Makkah, obviously he is apprehensive. He doesn't want the Quraysh to find out why he has come there. So he goes to the Kaaba, finds a place there, and that night he spends there. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, this is right in the beginning of Islam. Just three or four people have accepted Islam in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu sees this person. He knows, makes out he's from somewhere else, he's a stranger. So then he goes to him and tells him, why don't you come and spend the night with us? So he says, okay. Spend the night with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. But Sayyidina Ali does not question him as to why he came there. Whole night passes by, the next morning, both are going towards the haram again. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu asking him, neither is he saying why he came. Second night, same thing happens. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu takes him, same thing, looks after him, brings him back the next day. For three nights this takes place. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu takes the courage and says, why did you come to Makkah? Tell me. So he says, in a'taytani mithaqan, if you promise to me, if you pledge to me, that you will guide me to what I am seeking, then I will tell you. He says, no, definitely. What is it? He says, I have come here from a very far place to meet this new Nabi. I want to hear what he says, what he preaches. The moment Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala says this, then he becomes so overjoyed and he becomes so happy. And then immediately he says, Wallahi innahu la Rasulullah haqqan. Verily he is a true Nabi and he is like this and he is like that. And then he begins to mention the great qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, you know what, tomorrow morning, you come with me, you follow me. And just be careful, nobody is watching us. There are many spies of the Quraysh, and they might be following me. The moment I see something not right, then I will just pretend that I'm just got some, I need to relieve myself somewhere. So I will just stand one side, that you must catch up somebody, something not right. Nevertheless, the next day, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu then takes him. And Abu Dharr radiallahu is right behind him. But that night, before that morning, it is mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala could not sleep that night. Whole night he was just waiting to meet his beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shawqan ila ru'yatin. He hasn't embraced Islam as yet. He just wants to see this new Nabi. So in the morning they go. And he says, when they entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Faqala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayka salamullahi wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu. Fakana Abu Dharrin awwala man hayya Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi tahiyyati al-Islam. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, according to the historians, was the first person to make salam in the manner in which we make salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala had just inspired him. ثُمَّ شَاعَتْ وَعَمَّتْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. After that it became widespread. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew why he came. Immediately he gives him da'wah to Islam, recites upon him Quran, certain verses, and immediately after that, haqq and penetrates his heart, and then he makes i'lan of the shahadat, and he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him basic tenets of Islam. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu stays in Makkah for some time, and each day he learns from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, warns him, لَا تُخْبِرْ بِإِسْلَامِكَ أَحَدًا فِي مَكَّةِ. Don't mention to any person, don't inform any person in Makkah that you have embraced Islam. Why? أَخَافُ عَلَيْكَ أَن يَقْتُلُكَ. I fear that the people, when they hear that you have embraced Islam, they're going to kill you. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, he's so excited. He's got this new deen. Haqq has come into him. And he was searching for this truth. He couldn't wait. He says, Ya Rasulullah, no. I can't be. I'm not going to be patient. I'm going to go to the masjid, to the Kaaba, and I'm going to declare my Islam to the people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remains silent. So he takes it as an approval from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, and the Quraysh was sitting there, busy talking, was right in the midst of them, and on the top of his voice, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O assembly of Quraysh, Inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and he declares Islam. He hardly finishes his declaration, when they pounce on him, and they begin to beat him up terribly. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu is bleeding profusely. Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sees him and makes out that this person is from the Ghifar tribe. Immediately he defends him, addresses the Quraysh. Do you know who you are hitting? He's from the Ghifar tribe. And if we harm him or kill him, our caravans will never be able to go any more past there. And we'll be in serious problem. In any case, he is saved. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sees his condition. Alam anhaka an islamik, an i'lani islamik? Did not stop you from declaring your Islam? He said, Ya Rasul, I had a need. It was a desire in my heart, and I fulfilled the desire. Then Rasulullah tells him, now you go back to your people, and whatever you learn from me, now you go and preach it to them. Invite them to Islam. Perhaps Allah will benefit them through you, and you will get the reward for them coming into Islam. So he goes. When he reaches home, he meets his brother Unais, or Anis. And his brother asks him, what happened? So he tells his brother that he accepted Islam, and what had transpired. He says, فَمَا لَبِثَ أَن شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ. Allah Ta'ala also opened the chest of his brother to Islam. He also embraced Islam. Then he goes to his mother. She also embraced Islam. In that one day, there was an entire family, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu's family, all embraced Islam. And many other people from the Ghifar tribe. However, there were some from the Ghifar tribe who said, no, we will wait. Told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll see later on in life what happens, and then we'll embrace Islam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then came to Madinah Munawwara, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala was still in the rural area where he used to live. He only came to Madinah Munawwara after the Fatah of Khaybar, which took place 7th year after the Hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously he was not there in the early period when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Madinah Munawwara. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Khaybar, right when Rasulullah left this world, he used to give Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala his undivided attention. And he would give him his special care. And give him great advices. Amongst the advices Rasulullah SAW gave to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, in fact he says, Awsani Khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Awsani Khalili, the word Khalil means my bosom friend, my very beloved friend and Nabi, advise me bi sab'in, with seven things. And those seven things, he says, the first one, amarani bi hubbi al-masakin wa dunuwi minhum. That I must love the poor people. I must sit with them. And this was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, find me amongst the masakin, amongst the poor. Then he says, wa amarani an anzura ila man huwa fawqi. I must look at those who have, who are above me for this reason, that I appreciate the ni'mat Allah has given me. I must look at those who are above me in deen. I must look at those above me in deen, so I can also aspire to reach that high position they have reached. Those people who have gone far ahead. In deen, you look at those who are above you. In dunya, you look at those who are below you. Don't look at those who have got plentiful in dunya. Those who are above you in dunya, if you look at them, you'll have jealousy. You'll become restless. You'll feel you have lost out in this world. You won't appreciate what Allah has given you. But if you look at those people who are above you in deen, then you don't want to just aspire to be like that. If that man reading so much of salah, look at so much of dhikr he is making, how much of tilawat he is making. So I also want to gain that type of position. Then he says, وَأَلَّا أَسْأَلَ أَحَدًا. I must never beg from people. Anything I require, I must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, أَنْ أَصِلَ الرَّحِمْ. I must join ties with people. Family ties, I must join ties. وَأَنْ أَقُولَ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُرًّا. I must speak the truth even though it may be bitter. Now this is something that most of us, we fall short here. We become afraid what the people will say. Of course, when we give advices and when you want to bring people closer to deen, it has to be done with diplomacy, with hikmat. But when things are, when munkarat is taking place, when evil and fitnas are taking place and everybody remains silent, when Allah's azab comes, it comes upon ulama, upon the sulaha, upon every person. Then it's too late to cry. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the eyes of the heart of some people. Some are blind because they are caught up in those temptations. So those who can see, they should then direct those who can't see and guide them. If there's a ship which has two decks, an upper and lower deck, and the people from the bottom, they require water which is kept stored on top, and each time they go up, people upstairs, they are being disturbed, and they become annoyed, and all the time you people are troubling us, no, enough now, the last time, don't come again. So the people at the bottom feel now, those people upstairs, now we don't disturb them. Just make a hole in the bottom of the ship here, and we get plentiful of water. So if they begin to make a hole, and the people from the upper deck of the ship, if they don't stop these people, then those down will also drown, and they above will also drown. Entire ship will sink. If Allah has given us hidayat, we make shukr to it. Nobody is greater than the other person. Only Allah knows best. But if Allah has given us tawfiq and hidayat, and Allah has given us the ability to see what is haq from batil, then it is our duty to guide the people. We make dua for them. We don't just say it once, we will keep on saying it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the message reach not only the ears but the ears of the heart. And they must change the condition. Even though they may be making merry in the different fairs and festivals and inviting towards batil in the name of Islam. But if we remain silent, what's going to happen? Everybody will sink. So even though it may be bitter, but speak the truth. And then he says, أَلَّا أَخَافَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. When it is regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deen, I must not fear the reproaching of a reproacher. The rebuking of a rebuker. People can scold me, reproach me and rebuke me and say you are backwards. And you've got your old school of thought and whatever they may say. But if a person has got understanding of Quran, Hadith, he knows what is haqq, then he must not fear the reproaching of any person. And then the seventh thing, an ukthira min
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I must read in abundance. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because this is from the treasures of the treasures of Jannat. إنه من كنز من كنوز الجنة. And it is under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, he stays with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah leaves this world. When this happened, Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, just like Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he found it very difficult to live in Madinah Munawwara. So he goes to Damascus, he stays there. But he sees the condition of the people there. And Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala was known as a Zahid. One who broke aloof from the world. In other words, he had abstinence in him. He had no love whatsoever for the dunya. He could not even bear any person keeping any surplus with him. Anything which was fawqa al-haja, more than necessity. He would say, no, give that to the poor then. What are you keeping that extra money for? No investments in his eyes. Of course, this was his hal. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu looked at the people in Damascus enjoying so much of dunya, he tried to stop them. They found him difficult, they complained to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he comes to Madinah Munawwara. After some time, people in Madinah Munawwara also found Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu stopping them. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu called him and very nicely made mashura with him and very gently, very politely then found him. Of course, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu accepted this offer that then he was sent to a place called Rabadah. Outskirts of Madinah Munawwara. In Tabuk, took place in the 9th year. Of course, the Sahaba would move and there were so many of them, so everybody couldn't be together. Some were in front, some were behind. Sahaba said, there is one particular person, Ya Rasulullah, see, lagging behind. For a problem with his camel, Nabi Kareem says, no, just carry on. In kana fihi khair, if there's khair in the man, فَسَيُلْحِقُهُ اللَّهُ Allah Ta'ala will make him reach us. Don't worry, we carry on. After some time, they see in a distance a person coming. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expresses a desire, a dua. Allahumma, oh Allah, kun Aba Dharr, make it be Abu Dharr. It was Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala. Coming, walking all alone. His camel gave up, so he started walking with his belongings and he came and he reached the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, he says, يَمْشِي وَحِيدًا يَمُوتُ وَحِيدًا وَيُبْعَثُ وَحِيدًا Abu Dharr is walking alone today. He will pass away, he will leave this world all alone, and he will be raised on the day of Qiyamah alone. Now in Rabada, he's old. His wife is old, he got a khadim or khadima. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala is now breathing his last. His wife is very, very worried. She begins to cry. So he says, why are you crying? She says, I don't have any kafan. Who's going to give ghusl and who's going to make dafan? Who's going to perform your janazah salah? He says, don't worry. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressing us. We were a group of sahaba. I was amongst them. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one day a person amongst you will pass away in the desert area. Away from the city. He will pass away far away. But there will be a group, a small group of the believers who will be present for his janazah and they will give ghusl and they will bury him. And I have seen that the others who were there when Rasulullah had addressed us, each one of them passed away in the city. I'm the only one living. I'm in the qarya, I'm in the village or the rural area now. So I definitely believe that it was actually referring to me. And then he recites Kalima, he passes away. Suddenly she sees in the distance a caravan coming. Among them was Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And he sees a body lying there. He looks at it, asks, who is this? She says, this is Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, your brother. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu begins to cry. He says, Allah's qasam, I heard Rasulullah saying, Yamshi wahidan wa yamutu wahidan wa yub'atu wahidan to Abu Dharr, that he's walking alone, he will pass away alone, and he will be buried like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala passed away. And it's mentioned in some kitabs, and once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala was going past. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam stopped the conversation and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hada Abu Dharr, this is your sahabi Abu Dharr.
So Nabi Kareem then asked him, you know Abu Dharr? Did you mention him? You know him? You know him well? He says he is more famous in the sky than he is in the earth. Angels know him more than the people in the earth know him. So Nabi Kareem asked, why? So he said, because of two reasons. He recites Surah Ikhlas in abundance. Benefit of Surah Ikhlas. He recites Surah Ikhlas in abundance and he has humility, tawadu in him. Because of his humility, he is so well known amongst the angels in the sky. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to be like these sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Such pure lives they had. Imagine if Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu to be with us today. Looks at our homes and our cars and our eating and our food and our dressing. What would have happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind with us. Hazrat Mawlana rahmatullahi alayhi, obviously eat well, sleep well, enjoy yourself, but refrain from all sins. Stay away from all temptations. Stay away from all temptations. Alhamdulillah, we should be so happy, so happy, so happy. There's no doubt we can take qasam in Allah 1 billion times. This is no show or pride or anything. That we may not be caught up. Allah makes hifazat. Allah must protect us till we leave this world. Nobody is safe. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was safe. Allah protect us. We must say Ameen. Allah protect us, our wives, our parents, our children, our family members, our friends, our musallis, from all evil and all temptations. Whilst everybody else may be enjoying and this and that and bragging about what they're doing and buying and spending their time, that we are missing out on nothing. We are missing out on nothing. Wallahi, when I see the brothers after Asr going home, walking back again for Maghrib, again for Isha, little children coming, it gives us such pleasure. Look how happy everybody is. Why? They've got sukoon here. There's chain here. I take a qasam in Allah, there can never be chain elsewhere. There can never be that sukoon you get here in this masjid or any of the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sukoon that we get here, we can never enjoy it anywhere else. Impossible. But the people have to be here to enjoy the sukoon. Somebody far away, aircon is on again here, mashallah, we're enjoying the coolness. Somebody outside the masjid feeling the heat, how can he enjoy the coolness of the aircon? Impossible. He has to be sitting here. And when a person sits here, and Maulana should always mention, he must remove the cataract from his eyes. So he can see clearly. If a person sits with intention, let me see what wrong this Maulana can see so I can have a point, score a point against him. Then you're sitting with the wrong intention. We make dua, Allah inspire us. Allah put the right words in our heart. Allah change my condition first. Allah change all our conditions for the better. While sitting like this, we are trying, struggling, battling. Allah knows. Allah is well aware. Allah is never going to deprive any person. Our mothers and sisters, so many listening. There are so many people in the world, audio streaming. It's amazing how people wait for these programs. Allah Ta'ala must give us ikhlas. Allah must give us sincerity. Allah must accept. Allah must use us for the khidmat of His deen. These few programs we have, it is so heavy, heavy on shaitan. You won't understand. And therefore he'll try and put different type of insinuations and whisperings. He'll try his utmost to take us away from here. But we have to be strong. We will remain more and adhere. Then you see changes in your life. Suddenly you see barakat coming. Suddenly you see honor and dignity and respect. Suddenly you see that chain and sukoon. You no more have to take that medication and those tablets. Now if you're restless, your restlessness, wallahi, is for the sake of deen, not for dunya. It's not for the sake of dunya. You might not sleep properly, but it's for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah will not deprive you. You'll get some type of happiness. Maulana should keep on saying, you see, I can't explain. We don't have it. May Allah give it to us. But these are the people who enjoyed it. And they wish that they could pass it on to the rest. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. I don't want to prolong it, but we continue our tafsir of Surah Yusuf. And we had mentioned last week where Zulaykha was chasing Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, and Allah ta'ala opened each door of the chambers, and finally they found her husband, the Aziz of Misr, standing right there. And the whole conversation that then transpired, and she blamed Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His plans are amazing, amazing, amazing. A person is innocent. He doesn't have much words to express his innocence. Somebody is blaming him. Now, plus he is also under the key of these people. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he is under the key of Zulaykha and her husband. The ihsan is upon him. They look after him, they give him food. He stayed in their company. What does he do? He's innocent. But also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the little baby, according to some mufassirin, little newborn baby or an infant who couldn't speak normally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that child or the little baby the power of speech. And Allah could have just made the child say that Yusuf is innocent. That would suffice. It would have been sufficient. No, but then the child is explaining that look at the shirt of Yusuf. If it is torn from the front, then Zulaykha is a liar. Yusuf is innocent. If it's torn from the front, then Yusuf is a liar. And Zulaykha is, she is innocent. If it's torn from the back, that means Zulaykha was chasing him. So he's innocent and she's lying. When they check the shirt, it's torn from the back. So her husband knew immediately that his wife, she was lying. Yusuf was innocent. So he tells the innaki kunti min al-khati'in. You are from the transgressors. Go and repent. Make tawbah istighfar. That is most important for the time. And then he tells Yusuf, you know what, just forget about it. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam couldn't say much. And he thought everything would just be covered and everything forgotten. And this was the feelings and notions of the Aziz of Egypt, the minister. And he felt that nobody will come to know. So, he kept quiet about it. But perhaps, through Zulaykha or whoever, the news began to spread amongst the women. And they began to say, oh, 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 the wife of the minister? Look at her. She has tried to seduce a youngster. And she tried to seduce Yusuf. وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه. These women of Medina, they refers to Egypt, the city of Egypt. They say the Imra'at al-Aziz, the wife of the minister, turawidu fataha. She has seduced her youth because he was staying with them an nafsi over himself and he didn't want to give in. Qad shaghafaha hubba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that his love, the love of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, had permeated the deep recesses of her heart. Her whole heart was engulfed with his hub, his muhabbat. She was gone crazy. Rasulullah says, حُبُّكَ شَيْءٍ يُعْمِي وَيُسِمْ. When a person is madly in love with something, then it blinds him, makes him blind. And he can't see the truth. Only thing he sees is this person, his beloved. Makes him deaf. Some people will say, no, this is not the right thing for you to do. He's deaf, he can't see anything else. This is the only thing he will aspire for. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They say, oh, we see her to be in open misguidance. How could she do such a thing? فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ. So behind her back, they were talking about her. And this is referred to as makrum. So she heard of their plan or their talking about her. So she decided to show them. Let me explain to you. He's no ordinary person. He's got such beauty, such charm in him. He's so attractive that any person who sees him, they will fall for him. So she makes a plan. And this is a woman. Rasulullah says that I haven't seen any person like a woman who, in simple English, in our English, she can sweep a man, intelligent man, off his feet. The chalaki of a woman. They're too sharp, too smart. And therefore Allah says that their kaid, their plan is azim, great. And the fifth para, the kaid of shaitan, the plans of shaitan is weak. Rasulullah himself mentioned in one riwayat that the plans and the plots and the ploys of woman is greater than shaitan. Shaitan's plan is weak. Their plan is very, very heavy. Nevertheless, what does she do? She prepares some nice, beautiful cushions, pillows, and she invites them for a meal. She gives them very, very sharp knives. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ.
أرسلت إليهن. She invites them. Some rewires say there were 5-6 women only, and each one's husband was working for the king in the palace. Different duties they had. وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأَ. She prepares for them nice cushions and places to relax and eat comfortably. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهُنَّ السِّكِينَ. She gave each one of them a very sharp knife. Now while they're sitting and peeling or cutting and slicing this fruit, and they're busy talking, وَقَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ. She summons for Yusuf, she says, come out. And he has to go past. The moment they see Yusuf just going past, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ. They regarded him to be great. They glorified him. How we say takbir, Allahu Akbar. They were caught in his beauty. وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. We began to cut their fingers. The word أَيْدِيَهُنَّ refers to hands, but this is now eloquence in Arabic. This is called balagha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes talks about a big part referring only to a small. So here actually it means they began to cut the fingers. And what did they say? مَا هَذَا بَشَرْ. وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. Allah forbid. مَا هَذَا بَشَرَ. This is not a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. He's a noble angel. Look at him. Look at his beauty. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says that if these same friends of Zulaykha who cut their fingers just upon looking at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they became so attracted by his beauty, if they had to see the beauty of my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would slice their hearts open. Can you imagine the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Qalatna. Immediately when she, this is what she wanted. She wanted to show them, see how you all also got entrapped. قالت فذلكن الذي لمتنني فيه. See, the same thing. You were reproaching me and talking behind my back about. What happened to you people now? فذلكن الذي لمتنني فيه. ولقد راودته عن نفسه فاستعصم. She tells him the truth. I tried to seduce him over himself. فاستعصم. He refrained. He refrained completely. Then in front of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in front of these women, now she gains the boldness and the courage. And what did you say? وَإِن لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمُرُهُ. If he does not do what I will command him now, in other words, to fulfill my desires, لَيُسْجَنَنَّ. He will be imprisoned. وَلَيَكُونَ مِّنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. He will be from those who be humiliated. Now, when these women see this, they are also caught with his beauty. They had heard about the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Perhaps they didn't get the chance and opportunity to see him like this. Now they saw him. They also, according to some riwayats, it is mentioned, they began to encourage him to fulfill Zulaykha's desires. They began to use very flowery language. And he said, come on man, she's so nice and she's like this. Why don't you just fulfill her desires? Some ulama mentioned in this also, there was some plan of them also. Each one also desired him for themselves. It happens sometimes. A woman likes a man. Allah protect us from illicit relationships. This is an example. Now so she tells her sister or a very close friend. So she becomes a so-called agent now. And she's sending the messages. Meanwhile, she's enjoying herself with that particular man. And he's enjoying himself with the conversation with this woman. This poor lady, not poor, poor in the real sense because she's not doing the right thing. But she doesn't know. She is thinking that this woman, she's the agent and mashallah, she's sending my messages and everything is coming. Meanwhile, she doesn't know what love that this woman got in her heart for the same beloved that I got. So each one was desiring Yusuf for themselves. Some rewires say that they also tried to entice him. Leave Zulaykha. What about me? When he saw all this, qala. What was her threat? That I will put him into prison. Qala Rabbi, oh my Allah. As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. To be imprisoned is more beloved to me than towards what these women are all calling me. They are trying to entice me. Ya Allah, it's going to be so difficult for me. How am I? She's, look at Zulikha's boldness and her courage now. And she's still trying to seduce me. The other woman also. Ya Allah, how am I going to preserve my chastity? I'd rather go to the jail. I'd rather be imprisoned. So this was his supplication, a dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one riwayat says that Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, of course this was the scenario he was in, and she threatened him about going to jail. So he said, I'd rather go to jail than fulfilling the desires. So there was no problem in saying this. There was no problem. But if he asked for afiyat, it would have been better for him. What is afiyat? Rasulullah says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some riwayat, the best of du'as any person can make is the du'a for afiyat wa da'in. Means safety. From all types of hardships, difficulties, problems, sicknesses, whatever it may be. Ask Allah for afiyat, not for afat, please. Afat means bala, problems, temptations and mushkilat. Ask Allah for afiyat and make du'a all the time. May Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding of the Arabic language, of Quran, Hadith. There's so much we can share. Between Adhan and Iqamah, of course it applies to the men in the masjid. Women after Adhan can make the dua. Between Adhan and Iqamah, Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that the dua of the person is accepted. Now look at our condition. Adhan goes on, we're talking. We don't even give jawab to the Adhan. After that, mashallah, we get tawfiq, we read sunnah, whatever. Otherwise, we're busy talking outside, or by the wuzu khana, in the city. Make dua. It's a time for dua. Whatever dua you're going to make is going to be accepted. Who's saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then amongst the duas, masnoon duas between adhan and niqamah, he taught us to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi d-dini wa dunya wal-akhirah, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallah, I ask you for forgiveness. I ask you for afiyat in my deen, in my dunya and akhirat. So simple. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi d-dini wa dunya wa al-akhirah. So Rasulullah said, if he asked for afiyat, it would have been better. Nevertheless, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُ. Allah accepted, Allah answered his dua. When a man is in problem, he's mazloom, he's being oppressed, there is no barrier between him and Allah. Immediately Allah answered his dua. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُمْ. But before I forget, one thought that came to me, a point. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ. When these women saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, أَكْبَرْنَهُ. They regarded him to be great and big. They glorified him. Imagine when you make mushahada of makhluq. When you see makhluq of Allah and the beauty of the creation of Allah, and you regard that to be big and so beautiful, imagine when the jannatis will see Allah. Imagine when the jannatis will see Allah. What an opportunity it will be. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with that, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ. Yusuf is saying, Ya Allah, that if you do not move or turn away these women's ploys from me, I would be inclined to them. I'm a human being after all. I will have to give up one day. It will be too much for me. أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ. I will move, I will be inclined towards them. فَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I'll be from amongst the ignorant ones then. I'll be amongst the wrongdoers then. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبِّهِ. This is when Allah Ta'ala answered his dua. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ. Allah removed the ploys from him. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And this gives us so much, just two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But so powerful. Every one of us has problems. Every one of us has problems. Every one of us. إِنَّهُ verily Allah is السَّمِيعُ. All hearing. Can't he hear? Definitely he hears. There are so many people, there are women whose husbands are troubling them so terribly, abusing them, getting married to other women, or not even getting married to other women, but having illicit relationships, and this poor woman who has born, or who has given birth to his children, who has bore his children, and looking after him and giving him food and everything, yet he does not show her that love that she deserves. Allah is Sami', Allah is Alim, Allah knows everything, all knowing. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. Now what happened? Everybody is talking about this. That Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, ma'ad Allah, he tried to seduce Zulaykha, and everybody is talking about. So the Aziz of Egypt, the minister, now he realized, now he's getting a bit out of control. He knew Yusuf was innocent, but he felt that we rather now imprison him. And the rest of the people in the palace, they all felt, just for a little while, until everybody forgets about it, then we release him. Now according to some riwayat, it is mentioned that this Zulaykha, she comes to her husband and he says, you know what, this youngster, قَدْ فَضَحَنِي فِي النَّاسِ, he has disgraced me amongst people. And he's telling everybody that I seduced him. And I am not able now to prove my innocence. I need to make an excuse and tell the people. So either you allow me to go out to the people and declare my innocence, or otherwise, just why don't you just imprison him? Now he didn't want her to go out and explain to people and they'll question her and she'll get caught out. He said, okay, we'll imprison him. According to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in some tafsirs, a person of this status, if he is caught or any person is caught to this type of sin, then they will humiliate him amongst the people and they would make him ride a donkey. And this is what they did according to some tafsir. They made Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam sit on a donkey and they began to beat up drums and they paraded him in the town to belittle him and say this is his offense and therefore now we are going to imprison him. This is Abu Salih rahmatullah says, ما ذكر ابن عباس رضي الله عنه هذا الحديث إلا بكى. When Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to mention this, he used to cry. Think that what did they not do to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? What tests, what trials he went through from the time he was a child, the well incident, then so many types of trials and tribulation. Now this is humiliation and now they imprison him. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانَ. He's in prison. With him there were two other people, Fatayan, two other youngsters, or not old people, they also entered the prison with him. They too were serving the king. One was his cupbearer, and the other one was a baker. So after some time, of course, the Quran doesn't mention the details, but from other kitab we understand, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam would meet with the prisoners, and he would talk with them very politely, and he would discuss with them, and he would invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could see his akhlaq. He did not feel that these people are all offenders, these are all criminals. No, but he showed that humility. And in the prison cell, he would go and show them akhlaq, and he would be honest and kind. So these two people, one day they come. Now some narrations say they made up this dream that they saw. And others say no, they saw this dream in reality. قال أحدهما إني أراني أعصر خمرا. One of them said, I see myself squeezing grapes and pressing wine. In other words, squeezing the grapes into wine. And what did the other say? إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا تأكل الطير منه. I see that I have got bread or crumbs on my head from which birds are coming and pecking and eating. نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِ. Come, Yusuf, tell us, what is the interpretation of all this? إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We see you from the good doers. You're so kind, so polite. You must have got some knowledge. So tell us, what is the interpretation? قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طُعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتِيَكُمَا. One meaning. That before your people's food comes to you, I will give you the interpretation. Don't worry. But I've got some other thing to explain to you first. Listen to this verse. And other meaning, many Mufassirin have mentioned. He says, I will tell you to what time your food will arrive from your family, the families would send food for them. The type of food also that you are going to get. Now obviously this is knowledge they, the prisoners don't have themselves. How is Yusuf going to tell them what time the food is going to arrive? And the type of food also they're going to eat. And he clarifies, ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. I don't have ilm-i ghayb hadad.
Only Allah has knowledge of unseen. It is from that knowledge of the unseen. Allah has bestowed. Allah has taught me. Mimma allamani Rabbi. I don't have that knowledge. Allah has taught me. So the knowledge we have also, it's a great ni'mat, also is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So exactly like that, he told them what time the food will arrive, what type of food, and how they understood that this person really, he is somebody different. And then he explained, he said, listen, I got a message for you. إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. I have abandoned a group of people who don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in Allah. And they reject the hereafter. They don't believe that they will die and be resurrected and then there's a hereafter. Now he begins to explain to them what is Tawheed, what is Islam, what is Iman. And he says that I actually follow وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي. I follow the creed, the religion of my forefathers, إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It is not right for us to associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is wahid, Allah is alone. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. It's Allah's kindness upon us. Allah has bestowed us with iman. And Allah has given iman to many people. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. But most of the people don't make shukr for this great ni'mat of iman. يَا صَاحِبَ يِسِّجْنِ. O friends of this prison. He addresses these two people. أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ. Now look at the logical reasoning. Are different gods. Why? They believe in a رَبُّ السَّمَاء. One رَبُّ for the sky, one رَبُّ الْأَرْضِ, one رَبُّ for the earth, one رَبُّ الْمَطَرْ, one رَبُّ for the rain, one رَبُّ for the rizq. Different gods and goddesses and godlings. One for this, one for that, one for sun, one for moon, one for star. أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. Are different gods better? أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارِ. Or just one Allah, who is almighty and powerful. Come on, think. Reason. So he begins to give them da'wat. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَعًا سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا. All but you are worshipping only names. رَبُّ الْمَطَارِ, رَبُّ السَّمَاءِ, رَبُّ الْأَرْضِ, رَبُّ that, different gods. You just give a name for different thing, which you have named and your forefathers have named. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ. Allah has not sent down any proof with whatever you are doing. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Sovereignty belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah has commanded that you do not worship except Him alone. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. That is the true, upright, correct deen. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of the people don't understand this. So even in the prison, he gives da'wah, and this is something that each ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ought to do. And that is to invite towards oneness of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a da'i. He was a mu'allim. Rasulullah sallam was concerned about the spiritual reformation of each person. So it doesn't mean if you are giving da'wah, then you belong to a certain group and cult. Or if you are worried about tazkiyah, then you're another group. These are all the functions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He learnt knowledge, deen, he imparted deen to sahaba. What would they do? What would they do in the masjid? He would teach them hadith, he would teach them Quran, ayat was sent, came down. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. He'll teach them Quran, recite ayats to them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. He would make the tazkiyah, he would tell them, sahabi comes. Ya Rasul, give me advice. لَا تَغْضَبْ. Don't become angry. He would advise the sahabi about the harms of anger. He would advise the people of the harms of jealousy. Advise the people of love of dunya. All these things corrode our hearts. We don't realize it. How important Islam is. And he would call the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these things we should be doing. Obviously we cannot do each thing all the time, is difficult. Whatever we are able to do, but we don't condemn any person who is doing any good work of deen. That work of deen which Shariat has sanctioned. That we do work of deen which is maqbool in Allah, that which follows Quran and Hadith, not that which follows our own whims and fancies and we give it a tag of Islam. So to give da'wat is integral, it's important for each one of us. So sometimes we are in our surgery, we're a doctor, or you're a professor in university, or you're a teacher at school, you're an ordinary businessman. Then too, you give da'wah to the person. And one da'wah is just of akhlaq. You are dealing with a non-Muslim person. Sahaba-i-Kiram who went to China, what da'wah did they give to the people? Those people in China only saw the manner in which they dealt, the business dealings they did, how they exchanged goods and how honest they were, how sincere they were. They did not deceive any person. Just upon that they realized, who are these people? And they embrace Islam. You're traveling. Somebody is sitting next to you. Talk to him. Don't be shy of your Allah. Our iman has become so weak. We are so scared and so shy of our deen. We are scared of what we are wearing also. It's salat time. You see, no. This is somewhere nobody can see us. Ma'ad Allah. Obviously, you don't have to sit and read in such a place where everybody, passengers have to go past. No. Go to one corner. And in a nice way you perform your salat. We should not be feeling shy of our deen. We should be proud of our deen. We are Muslim. We should be attracting others. So da'wat is important for us. And we should give da'wat. Sahaba gave da'wat towards oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah. Why? What is the benefit? The more you talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether that person accepts, don't accept, secondary. This much benefit you will get, that you spoke about the greatness of Allah, that greatness will come into your heart. That yaqeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into your heart. When you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is a provider, and He is a sustainer. For the first few times you will see, just saying it, not really, pondering yourself. That after some time you will really reflect, you know what I'm saying, that Allah is a true provider. And it's indeed, because then you will reflect over certain incidents in your life where you had nothing and how Allah provided for you. And when this happens, then you attach yourself with Allah again. And then you gain this close connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He gives them da'wat, and then He gives them interpretation of the dream. Ya sahibi sijni amma ahadukuma fayasqi rabbuhu khamra. One of you will become the cup bearer of the king. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَيُسْلَبْ. The other one will be execution. فَتَأْكُلُ طَيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِ. Birds will come and eat from his head. So as I said, we were testing him according to some narrations, some tafsir. Then he said, no, we were just, we made up a dream. We didn't really see a dream. He says, Allah says, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَا. Yusuf alayhi salam said, the matter in which you asked me a question, an interpretation, it has now been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's finished. We can't change it anymore. And other narrations say, no, they really saw this dream. Some mufassirin say, he did not tell each one of them while they were sitting there, which one is going to be execution. This was his compassion, his rahmat. What will happen to the guy after that? So he keeps quiet. Perhaps later on he told the other person. Oh, in fact, the ayat then says that, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا. From the boat, the one in which Yusuf alayhi salam believed that he is going to be free, then he tells him, Uskurni inda Rabbik, that just mention my name to your king. When you go there, just mention about me. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. Inshallah, you continue from here next week. What happened here? Here Allah Ta'ala says that Shaitan made this person forget mentioning Yusuf alayhi salam as the king, and there are many other explanations also, inshallah, next week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah Ta'ala accept, may Allah Ta'ala protect us and entire ummah of Rasulullah from many people who are sick, young children, person, one youngster also, was in hospital, fell down, cracked his skull, family is worried, they requested dua. We must make dua for the ummah of Rasulullah, make dua for our families, for ourselves. As I mentioned, we should not be kanjus of our duas also. By you telling somebody else, may Allah bless you, may Allah give you best of dunya and akhirat, you lose nothing. The angel says, وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ, and for you is the same, for you is the same, for you is the same. So may Allah Ta'ala remove all our difficulties, give shifa to the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.